Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our scripture verse this morning is from Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Barry. Thanks be to God. Amen. You pray with me? Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation, the inspiration, and all of our hearts and thoughts this morning be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as we begin this new year, I want to start with a particular sermon series. And it's kind of a mundane title, I'm aware, Essential Christianity. And the idea is, what is it that all Christians around the world hold in common? What is the orthodoxy of who we are as Christians, no matter what denomination? What do all Christians hold in common? Now, I'm getting this idea from, actually, our United Methodist Book of Discipline. It has a little section in it, what we all hold in common. And there are seven things. And so for the next 7 weeks, I'm going to be lifting up the essentials. What is it that we all hold in common? And this one for the day is this. We hold in common with all Christians a faith in the mystery of salvation in and through Jesus Christ. It is our belief in the Christian faith that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through Him. That is a profound statement. It is a statement that for others in the Abrahamic line of faith, our Jewish brothers and sisters and our Muslim brothers and sisters have difficulty with. What is it about how our understanding and belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior center to our life? What does that mean for us? And how then we order our lives knowing that Jesus is the center of the salvation in our life? Now that's the message of the day. Our scripture text comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Barry just read it beautifully. In the fullness of time. In the fullness of time. At a particular moment in time. God sent His Son. Born of a woman, born under the law. And in order to redeem those who were under the law. So that we all might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but you are a child. And because you are a child, you have received the inheritance. You are now an heir through God. You are in the family of God. Going back in time, there are many images and depictions of Jesus. This is one of the earliest discovered in the catacombs in Rome. It's kind of interesting that this particular depiction, an image of Jesus, is not Jesus on the cross, but Jesus is the shepherd, the good shepherd, the door by which one comes into the presence of God, the shepherd king. This one, many of you may recognize already, it is one of the most famous depictions of Jesus in the world. It started out in the mid-1920s when an advertising artist by the name of Warner Solomon penciled what he called the head of Christ. Later on, he created it into an oil painting that was picked up by various publishers and was printed and distributed throughout the world. Millions and millions of copies of this depiction of Christ throughout the world. New York Times says that Salmon is probably the most famous painter of all time because of this particular depiction of Christ. Millions of copies around the world. Jesus continues to fascinate the populace. Every Christmas and every Easter, news weeklies choose to do feature stories on Jesus. Whatever the energy or the interest is of the time, whether it's to stir up some kind of scandal or controversy, or whether it's to depict some kind of new movement or energy that's going on in the Christian world, there's always something going on, whether it's a Jesus revolution or whether it's trying to discover the historic Jesus. If we could just find out the real, true Jesus of the first century. What about how Jesus is relevant in the year 2000, in the world we live in today, in this brave new world of incredible, new technologies? What is the role of Jesus in this present age? And all the incredible over history, the understandings of who this Jesus Christ is, Son of God, Son of Man, Alpha and Omega, Prince of Peace, Cosmic Christ, are asking theological questions about why Jesus had to die. Our Broadway Jesus, whether it's Jesus Christ Superstar or Godspell or other depictions of the image and the nature of Christ in the world. Who is this person whom we, believers in the Christian faith, worship as the center of who we are? Who is this person who is the focus of our life's attention, of how we know the true God? This particular image is an artist's conception of what a Jewish man living in northern Galilee in the first century might look like. Jesus, the Son of God, Son of Man. Who is the source of human salvation? What does that mean? We claim Jesus to be the light in our darkness, the light of the world. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He says, "I am so convinced of the truth of the Christian faith as I am the sun rising in the east every morning. Not because I see the sun, but because of its light, I see everything else." Because of the light of Christ in our life, the world can make sense. Jesus is the bread of life, the satisfaction of my inner hunger, my longing for completeness and life fulfillment. St. Augustine said this. He said, "O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." There is a gap, a sense of incompleteness, until it is filled with the truth of Christ. The quenching of our thirst, a life that is dried and parched and barren, becomes welling up with a new life and a new vigor and a new energy because Jesus is living water. Or the way in which we find our direction in life when life seems lost and hopeless, for Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Are the connection to the very source of life itself In Christ, we find the grounding of our life, the sense of which we are connected to God. We are born again. We are renewed in spirit and hope. We have second chances. We have startovers. We have new beginnings. We can let go of that which has gone before us. And in Christ, we can look ahead positively, hope-filled, in a hope-filled future. Christ is the resurrection and the life. When we are down in the lowest of the low, the lowest points of our life, Christ can lift us up to new life. Christ is our healing, the one who makes us whole. And Christ is God with us. No matter where we find ourselves in, no matter what situation we may find ourselves in, circumstances, situations, in Christ we know we are not alone. Christ is with us. Biblically, there are three salvation themes that continue to play out through the entire biblical narrative. The first one is bondage to freedom. It's the Exodus story. It's the story of God leading the children of Israel out of slavery and bondage in Egypt into freedom. And it's a theme that plays out very vividly in Christ. Belief in Christ. And that belief, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Or the idea of exile to return, the idea of being abandoned, of being cast out, of being estranged, of being disconnected. Whether it's the Jews exiled to Babylon in the ancient scriptures, or whether it's in a contemporary time of estrangement with loved ones, estrangement with the world, estrangement with God. In Christ, there is return, homecoming, an embrace of the prodigal to new beginnings and new life. And in Christ, there is forgiveness. Whatever it is that has got you bound and in captive, in Christ, you're forgiven. Now, in these next eight slides is the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the whole point of the message of the morning. There in your bulletin, there's a little section that's called notes. And if you would like to just pencil in little tickler notes about what these slides are, you might want to do this, because this is it. This is the reason of who we are, why we are, and what we're about. And if you ever need language to talk about what this Christian faith is about, I'm about to share it with you. Many of you have heard this before in many different and a variety of ways. This is my particular language for the day. And the hope is, and the prayer obviously is, it's helpful. The first is this: in God, love is supreme. Love is pure, and love is totally, completely good in God. It is out of this love supreme that we are created, that we exist in the first place. God created out of this love supreme. And that is our original nature. To be able to love this way, true, pure, and good. In God, love is supreme, selfless and giving and unconditional and beautiful. The reality of the world in which we live in is this. In the human condition, this love is corrupted. Now, you can go back all the way to Genesis, to the Garden of Eden, if you want some kind of, place to begin in understanding this. But you can just look at the world. Just read the morning newspaper. And you will realize that there is corruption in this world. It's corruption of our nature. Our love is corrupted. Our love is self-centered. It is self-absorbed. Our love is self-directed. Do you agree with this? All of the problems in this world is always someone else's fault. That's a corrupted nature. A failure to look at self for real. And this is it. In Christ, love supreme entered the human condition. That's Christmas. Love supreme, pure, good, and beautiful, entered our condition. Became human. Became flesh like you and me. And became obedient like you and me. Unto death. Even death on a cross. That's an incredibly powerful faith statement. In Christ, love supreme entered the human condition. And the human condition killed him. Yet in Christ's death, made possible for the human condition to be reversed and restored to its rightful relationship with God. Love supreme, this selfless, incredible, powerful love has the power to reverse our human condition. And it has in Jesus Christ. In Christ's resurrection, love supreme initiated God's new creation that becomes realized, becomes for real in the life of the repentant believer. Is real, is now. There's this repentance piece. It's our acknowledgement, yours and mine, of the reality of the world in which we live in, of the incredible grace that Jesus gave to us in his birth, in his life, in his teaching, in his death, and in his resurrection. In our acknowledgement, in our submission to God, love supreme enters, and that reversal and restoration begins. We are new people, new creation, beginning in us. This is what we call salvation in all of its forms. All of its forms. Whether it's forgiveness, whether it's freedom and liberty, whether it's a renewed sense of vitality and hope and purpose, a letting go of the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, whether it's a sense of homecoming and an embrace of a new profound relationship with God and with one another. All of that, all of salvation in all of its aspects, now and forever, comes in this moment of repentance and submission to God. Take, O Lord, this corrupted nature from me and put Christ's love in my heart. That's the repentant prayer. With humans, it's impossible. We cannot do it ourselves. That's why love supreme entered history and entered our human condition to give us the strength to do this. That's the essence of our faith. That's the power of salvation in our life. That is the key to the transformation of the world to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are his instruments of peace. Those who understand this, accept it, and live it. Now, usually in the Protestant way of doing things, when this is presented, there's an altar call. Because somehow, some way, when this is presented, and if it's presented in you know, God does God's thing. And there may be somebody here that has something's going on. A heart might be opened. A response is imminent. Well, we're not going to do an altar call. But if something's going on with anybody this morning, I'm still here. Dina's here. We'd be glad to talk with you, pray with you. Stephen ministers are here in the chapel. And also, and this is equally as important, if you've been tickled at all and interested and heightened in the sense of, I want to know more. This is something that I sense is important and I want to know more about this. The invitation to sign up for the Alpha course in the foyer. That is critical too. And it does, adults and youth both are invited to participate in this. So if something has happened and this has trickled your interest, hope that you will seriously pursue this. Eternally and gracious God, we give you thanks for this morning and for this time of sharing today and for your Son, Jesus Christ, his presence in our life and in our heart and in the heart of your church and in the heart of your people. Help us continue, O Lord, to live your love supreme as best, O Lord, as we continue to learn to live it. We give you thanks, O Lord, for Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.